And the scripture says that people are going to abuse you for this. It says they think it's strange in 1 Peter 4:4 that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. What do you mean you don't care about the Charlie Kirk shooting? What do you mean you don't care about the UFO, the Hellfire missile, the AI Antichrist, the this, the that, the other, whatever it is? What do you mean? Are you just an absolute delusional idiot? Living in some stupid la-la land? No, actually, I'm just doing my Lord's business. I'm carrying on an important work. I can't come down to these other things. My Lord taught me that I'll have troubles in this world, but he told me to take heart. He had overcome the world. I'm no longer under the delusion of thinking I can make this place better, because I see my Lord told me this place is going to get so bad that it's going to be like the days of Lot and the days of Noah. They couldn't handle it. And men today, the godlessness in them, their natural man, could not handle that Jesus was being arrested. They say, no, Jesus, this will never happen as long as we are at the helm. We will have Christian presidents and Christian governments and Christian policies and a Christian nation. Where is that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. The same kind of men who turned the Bible into a permission slip to own slaves. Look at what's happening. Because men today can't stand that Jesus is being arrested, why am I not having a problem with it? Why am I not afraid of Democrats? Why am I not afraid I'm going to turn into a transgender zombie? The Bible, if you notice, is constantly telling us, focus on Christ, life in Christ, your life in heaven, the teachings of Christ, the word of Christ, the grace of Christ, the will of Christ. When Satan is saying, this video, this tragedy, this crisis, this politician, this issue, this fear, this problem, this disaster, do you see the game? But brothers and sisters, all this stuff on the internet, all over the world, they're not my monkeys, they're not my circus. And I'm going to explain to you with scripture why you should feel the exact same way. And I want you to see that one of the greatest warnings that Jesus Christ gave is happening right now, and it's getting worse and worse.
Do you know how many mass shooters there have been in America over the last 10 years?
Counting or not counting gang violence?
Great.
Video shows Kirk being carried by six men to an SUV, which transports him to Timpanogos Regional Hospital.
As Christians in the day and age that we're in, what are we supposed to make of that? Apparently, the entire world is thinking about and talking about this shot and the death of Charlie Kirk. I received an email just the other day from a sister who's been following the ministry. Can you help me make some sense out of this? I have family members that are all up in a storm and they're arguing, and some are saying it is going to be a revival and this guy was a saint, and other people are saying this. I'm very niggly inside. I'm very confused. Can you help me? So the question that I'm asking is, what is my responsibility as a Christian, as a minister of the living Word of God, somebody who's on a mission to get to the top of this summit with you in the Old Lost Trail, to do the will of God in my life, on assignment, on mission? What is my responsibility? What meaning am I to take from this? I suspect if I did a quick search on the death of Charlie Kirk, at this point in time, there has to be tens of thousands of videos, maybe more. I think I might be being conservative. All over the world, people conjecturing, filling the airwaves on YouTube with their opinions about what this means, what this doesn't mean, false news, false information, all kinds of stuff about it, right? So what about me? What about you? The timing of it for me is remarkable, and it points to exactly what I believe the meaning of this to be is. Now keep in mind, this is 26 minutes before he is shot. I said this. Have a listen. The majority of spiritual warfare is not in a dark, shadowy figure appearing, or you being held down in your bed, or spooky things happening like you would see in a Hollywood movie, but it's Satan taking captive those around us to then do harm to us in ways that are masquerading as human nature. Oh, that's just them being jealous. Oh, that's just them being selfish. Oh, that's just them just being, you know, they're hurt, and so they're hurting back. And while that can be a lot of it, the scripture tells us a different narrative. It says that there is a spirit who is at work in all of those who are disobedient. and that he is the prince of this world. He is the God of this age, and he leads the entire world astray. I believe this, contrary to what everybody on the internet would say, that this is political war. This is actually spiritual war. It is a spiritual battle. And now I have to ask myself, is this a spiritual battle that the Lord wants me to be aware of? Does he want me to study it? Does he want me to engage in this? Is this something that has to do with my personal walk with the Lord? Or is this something I need to leave alone? There's been lots of messages where I have felt led of the Spirit to warn about time running out for you to get your heart and your walk with Jesus Christ right.
I have a very, very strong belief now that this peace is not going to last in America much longer. I don't know when it'll happen. I believe it has to be that America's days are numbered. It has to be, if you just look at it from God's standpoint, that we give him such lip service. God, in his mercy, wants to bring wrath to turn us from that. And it's going to be painful. It's
the mass shooting here, the mass shooting there. God is going to continue to turn up the heat.
Do you know how many mass shooters there have been in America over the last 10 years?
Count.
The foundations are going to be shaken. Do you feel the fear already? Because if you do, I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm telling you, there's a hardness going to come on this planet that you can't even imagine.
And you are going to have to suffer much more than you ever imagined coming soon. This world is going to get darker and darker and darker and darker. If you think that this is dark, things are going to get much worse.
Yes. Let me just tell you something. 4 years ago in India, I sat on our front porch and I prophesied that things were going to get much, much worse. I'm telling you now, things are going to get much, much worse. If you're not convinced now, stick around for a while. I'll tell you the truth. Things are going to get so much worse that men's hearts, the Bible says, are going to melt like wax for fear. The coronavirus is nothing compared to what's coming on this earth. God,
there's no time left for us to be acting like little children. It's time for us to grow up. I have been warning you for years, and you just saw in a story where God prophesied through me, and I have told you for years the time was going to come if you didn't get right with God, and you didn't get a solid walk with Jesus Christ. The time was running out. You have to deal with your sin now. You have to take this seriously, brothers and sisters.
Not time running out because Jesus is coming back really soon, but because times of relative peace. Imagine you're trying to pray, but you're surrounded by three or four people screaming at you or just talking. Imagine you're trying to read the Bible and there's just more and more people surrounding you around your house or what have you, making all of this noise. And they're telling you, look at this, listen to this, look what happened over here, check this out. And it's all this distraction. You would find it very difficult to have an enjoyable, peaceful time with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm 100% certain that one of the main things that God has been warning me about, to warn you about for years, spiritual warfare, but the specific aspect of spiritual warfare that we're talking about today, I would call it Satan's weapons of mass distraction. Weapons of mass distraction. For years, I have felt, since 2020, the alarm bells going off in me to know that one of the ways Satan was going to win in his stealing, killing, and destroying in your heart and in mine, if we allow it, is through terrible distraction.
Please continue to keep your eyes focused. Be a Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus for his will for your life. And if that's for you to have a marriage, if that's for you to have a good job, if that's for you to, you know, lose something, if that's for you to take up your cross in a situation, in a relationship, if that's for you to, whatever it is, find and do God's will. Don't allow aliens. Don't allow COVID-19. Don't allow financial rumors. Don't allow all the world and its problems to distract you away. You will stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of how you lived your life for him, not according to what was going on in the world in the news. Don't get lost in what the world's getting lost in.
Creating what appears to be very important events, circumstances, fearful and otherwise, to get us focused on all these things outside of us simply sitting like a Mary at the feet of Jesus Christ, doing what he's asked us to do. Instead, Satan's goal from day one has been to turn all of us into Martha's, worried and upset about many things. I want to share with you from the Bible, not from my opinion, not even from my past recordings or past warnings. I want to share with you in the Bible what the Bible says you and I should be doing when things like this happen, what we should not be doing, how we should feel about them. I want you to see that the Bible warns that things far worse than this are going to happen. You've seen nothing. It's going to get darker and darker and darker. It's getting darker. It's not nearly as dark as it will get. If you think the Charlie Kirk shooting is bad, wait until you see what Jesus Christ said is going to happen. It's one thing for a complete stranger, a no-named at that point, coward, hiding with a rifle to kill a person he's never met, a stranger. That's one level of, you know, evil wickedness. It is a whole nother level of evil of what Jesus Christ said is coming. If you think the Charlie Kirk thing is bad, it is nothing. If the whole world is in an uproar and thinks everybody should pay attention to this, this is the crisis everybody should be listening to, wait until we get to what Jesus said is going to happen. Jesus said that brother will betray brother to death, not some stranger sitting up on a high rooftop looking down with his little sniper to shoot you and kill you, that brother will betray brother to death, and children will eventually betray their parents, having them put to death. Now you're talking evil. Now you're talking the climax. Now you're talking the end of the end. So if you are so worried and upset about this, wait until you see what's coming. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. This is simply tragedy du jour. Soup of the day, tragedy of the day. That's all it is. Who is behind this? It's a spiritual war from the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who's at work, and now all of those who are disobedient, the one who leads the whole world astray, the one who comes with a mass campaign of stealing, killing, and destroying, the one whose aim is to make everybody a bunch of Martha Marthas. Look, today it's Charlie Kirk. Tomorrow it's somebody even more important than Charlie Kirk that's going to die. It'll be then something even more important after that. It'll be an even bigger crisis after that. If you just rewind the clock and go back with me to 2020, when everybody thought the world was falling apart, when everybody and all the news articles said, 2020, the worst year of my life, 2020, the worst year of decades. I look at how God had me respond to the Black Lives Matter chaos and all the little civil issues that were coming up all over the place. The terrible, terrible news reels we were seeing from people and countries and nations and, you know, police and all this stuff all over the world surrounding the time of COVID. Then you have the launch of ChatGPT and you have now all this AI mess. And then we had the UFOs thing come out where the government finally had to disclose, you know, look, UFOs are real. We can't deny it. There's evidence. We're going to put a report. Then we had Israel back at war again. Then we have this. Then we have that. I can't even remember them all. Brothers and sisters, after the Charlie Kirk shooting, I didn't know about him. I didn't really know much, so I quickly typed in just to see what had happened and what it was about. And then I decided to ask Google, what is the top 10 most fearful, controversial things that have happened in 2025? I could only recognize about three of them. Charlie was at the top. I obviously knew about that one. But I only recognized about two or three of the other events. Why that, to answer that question, is the rest of my Bible study. I want you to see what the Bible says, not what men, not what YouTube videos say, not what you say, not what your human nature says, not what other people have always done. I want us to go back and say, Lord, what would you have of us now? What does your word say? He's already told us in advance all these horrible things are going to happen. Again, Charlie Kirk is nothing compared to what's coming on. You're going to be, according to Jesus, if you're alive when it happens, you're going to be betrayed by your own family members and brothers and be put to death, or your own children. Look at what happened with my own children. My own daughter wrote a letter that I'm basically like being moved by demons to do Bible studies. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ in the end said, you, me, are going to be betrayed to the death by our brothers. Not by some guy who doesn't know us, who doesn't know anything about us, who's sitting up high as a coward, hidden with a rifle to take us out. But people that live in your house, people that you eat dinner with, people that you enjoy birthday parties with, people that you love as blood-related family members, the Bible says things are going to get so bad. Do you see where I'm going with this? Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what crisis it is today, there's going to be something bigger next week. And here's the great news. First of all, it's a spiritual war. It's intended to weaken and take you out. But number one, the Bible swallows up all of it. Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump, UFOs, AI Antichrist, whatever it is. Did you know the Bible, the Word of God, swallows it all up? It's already told in advance about all of these things. We don't have to panic. We don't have to react the way godless men and women all over the world do. And I want you to see with some scriptures how we are to fight spiritual war. This, the timing of this is beautiful, because in the last video, I talked to you about, okay, all these years of hell that you've seen in my life, literal hell coming at me, even just trying to do the old lost trail, how have I gotten through it? One of the most important answers to that question has been my focus. I told Lisa a few years back when she was struggling a few times with doubts. I said, sweetheart, the fight of faith is a fight of focus. I got it from Matthew 14. We all know the story of Peter being asked by Jesus to get out of the boat, but what happens when he does? He takes a few steps, and then he begins to see, naturally, the wind and the waves, the adversity around him. He takes his eyes off of Jesus, and what happens? He begins to sink. He takes his eyes off of Jesus. He had faith those first few steps. The fight of faith is a fight of focus, to keep the focus on Jesus, on his words, on his promises, on his prophetic statements, on his will for your life. So many people are being taken captive, quote, victims of the tyranny of the so-called urgent in YouTube videos and noise and internet social media madness all over the world because they're bored to death. They're not on mission for God. They don't have a ministry. If you don't have a ministry, ask God to give you a ministry. One of the most amazing secrets to overcoming Satan is to be like Nehemiah. And when Sanballat and Tobias are coming, sending him letter after letter after letter after letter, five letters. Hey, come down and meet with us. Why? They want to assault him. They want to stop the rebuilding. They want to stop the work of God. What does he say to them? I'm too busy carrying on a great work to come down and talk to you. It would seem unchristlike, wouldn't it? It would seem rude. Well, that guy is so rude. That guy is so self-righteous. He's just so inconsiderate. All the things I've been called. When parents, friends, family members wanted me to share in their anxieties, wanted me to stop the mission I was on, to listen to whatever latest crisis happened, whatever latest shooting, whatever latest natural disaster, whatever latest sermon, the end of the world is here. And I would say, nope, I'm busy, I'm focused, I'm on mission. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to give you a ministry if you do not have one. All of us should have some type of ministry, some way that we are. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, each one should use whatever gift he has received to administer God's grace in its various forms. You are, that's you. It's not just me. Now, you may not be called into a full-time ministry, but you should have something you're doing.
And now that I was a solo mom, I felt that this was my responsibility to Keely as well, to get it right. That's when I started to know what his will was for my life. And at the time, it was just teaching Keely everything that he was teaching me. That's what he told me to do.
Let me give you an idea. If you're somebody really struggling, Like, I'm bored. And that's why I watch all these videos about the world ending on September 23rd, Michael, or why I can't stop watching Charlie Kirk videos, or why I can't stop watching about AI, or can't stop watching whatever it is you're watching or whatever it is you're doing. If you're bored, idle hands, you will be in trouble. You'll be easily distracted. I'm so busy doing what God's asked me to do all these years, whether it was Israel bombing again, people telling me, Michael, your life, your testimony, it doesn't matter. What matters is Israel is at war. Right now, Michael, the old lost trail, it doesn't matter. What matters is Charlie Kirk is dead. What matters is AI is the Antichrist. What matters is this video that guy says ChatGPT is lying to us. What matters is, Michael, have you seen the UFO strike? Have you seen the Hellfire missile they shot at the UFO and how it bounced right off? And did you see all the military witnesses before Congress one by one say, yes, I'm afraid. Yes, I'm afraid. Yes, I'm afraid. Michael, that's what you should be paying. Michael, have you seen the Jeffrey Epstein and all the saga? And it's pretty clear our president's a pedophile. Have you seen all of this? Have you seen that? Have you seen this? Meanwhile, what am I doing? I'm too busy to come down. I can't talk. I'm on mission, brothers and sisters. There is so much powerful truth in just ignoring and having a mission. You say, but I don't have a ministry. I'm going to give you one right now. If you don't have a ministry, I'm going to give you the simplest idea right now of how you can do ministry. You know the story years ago, I stepped out of a car, 15 years old. The kid driving had been telling me about Jesus. I didn't want to hear anything about it. I step onto a piece of paper. It asks me if I died in a car accident, would I go to heaven or hell? It was a Bible tract. Somebody printed it, carried it, and handed it out. Another person threw it away. That trash became life-giving to me. It changed my life. You're watching this video now because of that Bible tract. Somebody threw it out, but somebody first handed it out. How would you like to have that same impact? Here's a ministry for you. I found out, that's why I never ask for likes or subscribes, but I found out that if you hit like because you genuinely like this video, did you know that what that will tell YouTube is it will actually recommend this video to somebody that's similar to you in your like and your feed? They've watched videos similar to you. It will suddenly take this Bible like a Bible tract and place it in their path and their feed. You could potentially change somebody's life and eternal destiny forever. Like the person who did when they handed out that Bible tract that day, whenever it was, that landed underneath of my foot. Do you realize if you want a ministry, you could go back on every one of these videos. You say, I can't think of anything else to do. Do this. Go back through every one of the old Lost Trail videos. I've already told you the truth that when you hit like on this video, plus if you do comments or if you subscribe, it will actually take this video and place it in somebody else's feed, put it beneath their feet, if you will. Imagine if somebody else, I've had people over the years, I have no idea how this showed up in my feed. It's because another person liked the video. Do you know how easy it would be for you to get busy doing something like that and have a purpose and get on mission and get busy? Busyness, like doing something, has a real tendency to eliminate all this other noise. You get really good and solid focused. At one time, years ago, I heard my wife say to somebody, not my monkeys, not my circus. I'd never heard that before. I thought it was very clever. And immediately from the context of what she said, I understood not my monkeys, not my circus meant that's not my problem. I'm not part of the problem and I'm not part of the solution. And so I don't need to hear about this. I don't need to know about this. This is not something that in any way applies to me. It's a beautiful way of putting in boundaries. Now, of course, I could say that about anything and I could use that to somewhat absolve myself of responsibility. I'm going to give you an example of when they are my monkeys and they are my circus. But brothers and sisters, all this stuff on the internet, all over the world, they're not my monkeys. They're not my circus. And I'm going to explain to you with scripture why you should feel the exact same way. And I want you to see that one of the greatest warnings that Jesus Christ gave is happening right now. And it's getting worse and worse all the time, everywhere. It's getting worse. Exactly what our Lord prophesied, exactly what he warned. It's happening now. Luke 21:34. Be careful. Be careful Lisa often tells me when I get close to the cliff, when we were down near Santa Cruz and I was taking some beautiful pictures along the Pacific Coast Highway in video, she'd say, please be careful, don't go any farther. She cares about me. She knows that one step too many could be the end of me. Jesus knows, be careful, pay attention, warning. Stop what you're doing and listen to what I'm saying here, he says. Or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. It could be the day of your death. It could be the day that Jesus Christ comes. It could be the day that you step off the cliff of faith and you shipwreck your faith. Jesus is saying, be very, very careful. This is one of his main instructions to us for the end times. He's saying, these are the things you need to be on guard against. Your heart being weighed down. Do you know how much of what is online from Satan is intended to weigh down your hearts? I looked up in Webster's 1828 dictionary what the word dissipation means. The third given definition of dissipation is this: scattered attention. Think of YouTube, think of Instagram, think of TikTok, think of all the news headlines, scattered attention, or that which diverts and calls off the mind from any subject. I'm going to show you the subject that the Bible says we are to be focused on, but I'm going to tell you that that is what Satan's plan is to divert and to distract through his weapons of mass distraction program on the internet. And yes, that includes even Charlie Kirk and the 10,000 different opinions about why that happened, what it means, and what we should all do about it. And again, that's just the tragedy du jour. It's going to be something different tomorrow and the next day. And the next day, and the next day. That's why we are going to have to be more and more, Matthew, I think 11:12, violently possessing the kingdom of heaven. We're going to have to violently possess our focus. The fight of faith is a fight of focus. If you're struggling in your faith, it's because you're struggling in your focus. Anytime I've ever watched myself or my wife begin to collapse, impatience, grumbling, complaining, feeling snarky towards God, feeling down and depressed, it's an issue of focus. We've taken our focus off of Jesus, off of his promises, off of his past faithfulness, and we've put it on the circumstances, on the YouTube video, on the news headline, on how we feel, on what we see. The fight of faith is a fight of focus. It's time for us all to start saying a lot more than we do, not my monkeys, not my circus. I learned years ago from Zig Ziglar that gossip is any time I or you are speaking about something or someone where we are neither part of the problem or the solution. You're not part of the problem, you're not part of the solution. Think about how much using that definition on YouTube becomes gossip. Think about how many things you see. The gossip, the Bible says, is a sin that leads to hell. It puts gossipers in categories with horrible people, the wicked, the evil. So gossipers are sinners. And think of how much gossip is out there, where you're talking about something, being bothered about something, being weighed down about something, where you are neither part of the problem nor the solution. I am not part of the problem nor the solution at all regarding anything regarding Charlie Kirk. Why should I be engaged in that? He's just one of thousands of people that will die that day. Thousands and thousands of people. I don't know what the statistics are, but imagine how many thousands of people in the world were murdered the same day he was. Is his the only one that matters? When I engage in something where I'm not part of the problem, I'm part of the solution, I could potentially be engaging in gossip unless the Lord has called me to speak on that subject. That's probably the only caveat I could see, right? And there are so many things on the internet people talk about where they are neither part of the problem or the solution, but with a sensational thumbnail, they can become part of the prophet. And I don't mean prophetic profit. I mean money profit. YouTube, as an example, all these videos. Do you know how many hundreds of thousands of views they get? And they get a lot of money from that. They want you to watch these things. And quite honestly, a lot of the times you do watch these things, or I watch these things, if we get engaged in these things, it's because we have, number one, we're bored. We don't have a mission. Number two, we have a false sense of purpose. Like, if I'm in the know and I can pass that on, it gives you a false sense that you've done something good. If you can figure out which is the right side and get on it, it gives you a false sense of self-righteousness. And the other thing it does is it gives you a false sense of security. If you know that AI is this, and you know that UFOs are this, and you know the Charlie Kirk shooting is this, it gives you a false sense of security that you're in the know on what's going wrong. It's all a bunch of lies. It's all a bunch of mumbo jumbo. It's all a bunch of monkeys that aren't yours and a circus you don't belong to. And that's what the scripture tells us. The scripture commands us, and just please bear with me, I'm going to go through these, but the scripture tells us, starting with Jesus, using Mary and Martha as a prophetic teaching, that Satan is going to try to turn us all into Martha Marthas, and Jesus wants to turn us all into Marys. Luke 10, 41 through 42, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is one of the greatest principles I've ever seen that has helped me to overcome Satan in this particular attack, his weapons of mass destruction. I was virtually untouched by all of COVID, Black Lives Matter, the Israel war, despite the fact that a few people wanted me to know that my life and testimony and walk with God doesn't matter. What matters is all these news headlines around the world. Brothers and sisters, stick around long enough. The news is going to change. The crisis, one will replace another. Over and over and over again. I like to try to tell people who want to be political, okay, so talk to me about all the things that you've been able to reform with your votes and all the things you spent at Panera Bread, wasting your hot breath, talking over, swearing about, getting upset about, and researching. How much righteous fruit have you seen from that? What have been the returns on your investment? And as a Christian, even if you got something out of it, I mean, as a Christian, we are translated. I'm going to talk about that, but we have a citizenship just like Mary had been translated. Her priorities had been moved from all the kitchen duties and the cooking and the preparations and all the normal worries. She had been translated. Her citizenship, her priorities, her affections had been translated now to Jesus. She's sitting at the feet of her Lord. Martha is still a citizen of the kitchen. Mary has been translated. And that's why Jesus said only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So when it came time for COVID-19 to be the quote end of the world, as so many people were thinking it would be, and the worst year of their life, Jesus is telling me, Martha, Martha, worried and upset about many things. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what other people think about it. Brothers and sisters, this is the battle. This is the main thing that Satan is going to do. Listen, there is a clip of me from many years ago, long before AI, long before Charlie Kirk died, long before Donald Trump, long before any of this stuff. Take a look at this clip and you will see a clue as to what one of Satan's biggest distractions is and always has been. His biggest weapon. Look at this clip right here.
This is a $60,000 lawsuit that was perpetuated against me by the wife of my youth. This was gone through in 9.5 hours in court. These are all of the exhibits of evidence against Michael Criswell.
There were so many accusations coming. It's like standing in the middle of a circle of 360-degree selection of bullets coming at you, and you don't know which one to defend against first. You don't know which one's going to be the one that's going to take you out. And so I went to lunch, just my head's going, This is an attempt of Satan to overwhelm, like what Hitler did with Blitz. Krieg, you know, to just overwhelm the enemy. You just stand there and you die paralysis of analysis. You don't even know what to do. You can see in this clip, Satan is trying to overwhelm me as an individual, like he's trying to overwhelm you on the internet. He was trying to overwhelm me with all these sensational facts, lies, slander, evil suspicions, conjectures, statements, trying to overwhelm me such that I got to the point where I didn't even know what to answer. Brothers and sisters, that's YouTube today. What is the most important issue for you to be worried about? Is it the Charlie Kirk assassination? Or is it the UFO hellfire missile strike? Or is it the video that shows you that ChatGPT is actually now trying to deceive people? Or is it the video that says this is going to happen and we're going to have World War III? Or is it the video fill in the blank? Is it this conspiracy theory? Is it this issue? Is it that issue? What is it? Thousands and thousands of things being said all around you to get you worried and upset. Not my monkeys, not my circus. I have my own monkeys. I have my own circus. My own monkeys and my own circus. Jesus said for me to love those in my path and to love my neighbor. We were never meant to know what's going on globally like we do today. That's effectively not our business. Not our monkeys, not our circus. Our monkeys and our circus are the ones that Jesus brings across our path. Our neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. The people in your village, the people you come across at Walmart, the people that are your next door neighbors. Those are the people that if God wants to use you, he should use you to help. We shouldn't be worried about trying to change things halfway around the world or even halfway across the city. It's the people here. It's me being on my knees in this RV with the owner of this whole property sitting right there and my wife sitting right over there, finding out, even though she has a Buddhist / New Age mixture belief, lost, finding out she has a son who's been diagnosed schizophrenic that I was able to tell her was in fact demons. She was able to say, yes, we wondered, who just before we arrived here had murdered somebody. And me being on my knees before my God, petitioning this woman, the Good Samaritan, coming across somebody in my path, my brother or my sister, those are my monkeys. That was my circus. That's what I'm to be bothered about. When God brings somebody in need, somebody hurting, somebody who has a problem I have a solution to, someone who has an error or a lie I have the truth to, someone who has a problem I have a prayer to, that's my monkeys. That's my circus. My monkeys and my circus, old lost trail. You're going to see that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what people tell me, September 23rd, the world's coming to an end. I mentioned it in the last video, right? It's not, but that's what people are saying, right? You're going to see I'm staying on my mission. I'm on my ministry. I'm going up this old lost trail. I'm going to continue to go. And that is what God has asked me to do. I have about 7 months, best I can estimate, worth of videos left to do in this series. With God's help, I will finish, regardless of how many more Charlie Kirks get shot, regardless of how many more AI Antichrist videos are put out there, regardless of how many more issues there are with Donald Trump, whatever it is in the world, regardless of what other scary things and world crises and things people want me to look at, you're going to see Michael Criswell, with God's help, doing what I've been doing for the last 15 years, basically ignoring not my monkeys, not my circus, all the things in the world, in order for me to do what Jesus asked me to do. That takes faith. That takes me having translated my priorities, my citizenship, my allegiance, my lordship to the heavens, to the kingdom of God that lives in my heart, not to this world. That means I'm focused on getting to heaven, serving my Lord, not trying to save my life in this world or repair the world. I'm focused on my mission to get to heaven, to please my Lord, to do what he's asking me to do. I am never going to fix this world. You're not going to fix this world. Politicians are not going to fix this world. It's a complete waste of time. It's a Satan mass distraction, mass deception. Not my monkeys, not my circus. 2 Kings 4:29, when Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. He said, if you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. He's saying, stay focused. You're on mission. Don't look to the left or to the right. Luke 9:59, Jesus said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and stay on mission. Proclaim the kingdom of God. Think about that. Doesn't that sound unloving, uncaring, unsensitive? Acts 6:2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. These were hungry widows. And the Bible is saying that according to the apostles, they believed it would be wrong in the eyes of God for them to delay the ministry of the word of God they had in order to do what we know we are to do, another commandment, looking after orphans and widows, the religion that Jesus Christ accepts. But this would be wrong. Do you see the need? They needed to stay on mission. So how much more would it be wrong for me to get off mission, for you to get off mission and be busybody distracted by all the weapons of mass distraction all over the world? Instead, we need to say, not my monkeys, not my circus. It takes faith to say that. You have to have faith. You have to be willing to be persecuted. People are going to persecute you if you start doing this. They'll tell you that you're unpatriotic, you're irresponsible, you're lazy, you're uncaring, you're ignorant, you're unloving. They've been telling me this for years. And what did I do? I kept on. What's God's answer been? What's God's accusation of me been? What's God's opinion of me been? You have to be willing to allow other people to think you're queer, to think you're weird, to think you're a nutso, to think you're totally checked out on reality. And you can say, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm no longer living primarily in this reality. I tolerate this reality, but I'm now a citizen in heaven. We're going to talk more about that. There's a time when you have to violently stay focused. And the scripture says that people are going to abuse you for this. It says they think it's strange in 1 Peter 4:4 that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. What do you mean you don't care about the Charlie Kirk shooting? What do you mean you don't care about the UFO, the Hellfire missile, the AI Antichrist, the this, the that, the other, whatever it is? What do you mean? Are you just an absolute delusional idiot living in some stupid la-la land? No, actually, I'm just doing my Lord's business. I'm carrying on an important work. I can't come down to these other things. My Lord taught me that I'll have troubles in this world, but he told me to take heart. He had overcome the world. I'm living in a different plane from the world. My citizenship is no longer down here. I'm not trying to save my life anymore. I'm willing to lose it that I might keep it. My citizenship and my hope in the country I'm longing for is the one in heaven. I'm no longer under the delusion of thinking I can make this place better, because I see my Lord told me this place is going to get so bad that it's going to be like the days of Lot and the days of Noah when he comes back. Like I've already told you that brother will betray brother to death and that children will have their parents put to death. There will be virtually no one left, according to Luke 18:8, left having faith in Jesus. That's what I believe in the Bible. That's what I know is going to happen. Why would I spend 1 ounce of my energy trying to fix that which is irretrievably broken? It's only a fool who does this, brothers and sisters. And I was a fool. For 20 years, I was a fool. 1 Peter 4:4, they think it's strange. Revelation 12:15, listen to this. From his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman with the torrent. Is not the news a torrent? Is it not a river? Is it not coming from the mouth of Satan, who is in control of the whole world? Remember, Jesus heard from Satan that all of the kingdoms of the world had been given to him, and he gives them to whoever he wishes. Acts 20:24, we know that Paul was so focused, he says he considered his life worth nothing to him, that only he may finish the mission. Matthew 14:30, we talked about it, the big mistake, the big lesson of Peter's life, taking his eyes off of Jesus, putting it on the wind and the waves. That's all that you see on the internet is wind and the waves. Mark 4:18 through 19, Jesus said, one of the seed sown among thorns, hears the word, but the worries of life come in and choke it off. The deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things choke the word, making it unfruitful. That's what you will find, the worries of life on the internet. Jesus would say to us, stay away. That's not your monkeys. That's not your circus. Proverbs 4:25, 27 says it's not your monkeys. It's not your circus. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Don't swerve to the right or to the left and keep your foot from evil. Philippians 4:6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. And that doesn't mean everything you see on the internet that you're not supposed to be bothered with. It doesn't mean that you go and take a bunch of stuff into your heart and then pray about it because now you're anxious. The Lord would say, get that filth away from me. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. Jeremiah 51:46, do not lose heart or be afraid when rumors are heard in the land. One rumor comes this year and another next. And Lisa said, you mean like next week? One rumor comes this week and another rumor comes next week. Rumors of violence in the land and of ruler against ruler. The word of God telling us, don't be afraid of that. Isaiah 8:11-13. The prophet warns, do not call conspiracy what all these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread what they dread. The Lord our God is the one we are to fear. He is the one that we are to dread. He's the one we're to keep our focus on, not what all these people down here who are bored are talking about and conjecturing about and getting a false sense of purpose and security from. 2 Corinthians 6:17, God says, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. We touch through the internet so many unclean things, brothers and sisters. So many things that we could say, well, it's permissible, but is it beneficial? Well, it's permissible, it's not against the Bible, but is it constructive? Is it helping you stay on mission? Is it something God is pleased with when you do this? Brothers and sisters, have the faith. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 2:4-5. Paul warns and says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs, for he wants to please his commanding officer. Think about how many civilian affairs. You are a Christian if the Spirit of Christ is in you. Think about how many, quote, videos are, quote, civilian affairs. Think about how much politics are all civilian affairs. Politics are entirely about trying to save your life in this life. Jesus was not a politician. He was not involved in politics. He didn't address anything political at all whatsoever. To try to take, incidentally, I have to address that now, don't I? I saw a video debate between a kid who was right and said, I'm concerned, to Charlie Kirk about your type of Christianity and your Christian nationalism. And one has the opinion that the Bible justifies, which would be Charlie Kirk, and believing that we all should have a nationalist Christian type state. And the other kid was like, no. What about this? What about that? What about this? And I told Lisa when I watched that video, I said, nobody can see the truth unless God opens their eyes, and we're in the day and age when so few people can see the truth. And I said, what these two guys are debating about, the debate on is it okay for Christians to be political or not, and one had clear, compelling arguments that you're not, and the other had clear, compelling arguments that you are. I said, this is the Civil War. This is slavery. This is exactly what happened in the Civil War, where this South used the Bible, both old and new covenants, to justify keeping people in slavery. And what did the North do? The North, like Charlie Kirk and this other guy, are debating each other. One using this scripture, one using another. Both sides used the Bible to justify slavery. Neither was able to convince the other, and so 600,000 men died. That's how stubborn, that's how blind people are. Like, I could try to spend so much time trying to convince you Christians are not in any way to be political, and you could sit and try to come up, and the Bible will help you. The Bible will help you justify. You can justify and find all kinds of scriptures. Romans 13:1, man, pray for all the leaders. There's no authority except that which God has instituted. Pray for all of them. Yes, but that doesn't mean that you're supposed to get involved politically. Jesus Christ ended the argument, both old and new covenant. It's sealed, it's closed, it's shut up. My kingdom is not of this world. My brothers and sisters in Christ, think about this. The Civil War in the United States of America in the 1860s happened as a result of two entirely opposite portions of the country totally disagreeing with each other, using the Bible to hold to a position that contradicted the other. Both sides thought they were right. All these years later, we know who the right side was. We know who was on the side of the truth and the heart of God in the Bible, but it took 600,000 men to die. It's shocking to see the spiritual blindness. The same thing happens here regarding all this Christian nationalism and this Christian political movement that's out there that is absolutely not at all anything like Jesus or the Bible, but men are convinced just as much as they were convinced that the Bible would permit them to have slaves. Look at this. A.W. Pink's quote says, "Instead of living as strangers and pilgrims here, professing Christians took part in politics and sought to reform the state. Instead of having as their hope the returning Christ, they sought to improve the world." You see how much that applies to us. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you," not in a political system, in God. I think when I was in India in 2016, I saw one of the greatest arguments against the, quote, need to have a Christian nation. Here I was a Christian in the middle of an entirely pagan nation, surrounded by idol worship, one of the darkest places I'd ever been, and I went through a political economic crisis while I was there in 2016 called demonetization.
So today is November 10th. We're in Hyderabad. I received an email last night from the American government saying that India was doing this new, what they call scheme, to get rid of all of the 500 notes and 1,000 notes. You have to do it in less than a day, and they'll only give you so much cash back. So we had just taken out tens of thousands and 500s just days before.
Well, they're saying it's a historic disaster for the economy that it's...
How did I survive? How did I make it through when there was no Christian politicians? There's no reform of the government going on there, and there's nothing but corruption and pagans. How did I make it? I prayed. I trusted God. God got me through.
This is brand new money. So they took all the 500s and the 1,000s. So for example, if I want to catch an auto, one of these rickshaws that's going by, take it across town, it'd probably be about 120 rupees, okay? So all the way across town, 120 rupees. These guys won't make change for 2,000. So everybody's getting these 2,000s. Nobody's taking change for them. So even when you get your money out, you can't even hardly spend it. So we're standing there in line and we ask the guy, you know, hey, can we get some hundreds? Sorry, ma'am, all we're giving away is two 2,000s and, you know, 10 100s. When he hands us the money, he asks permission to the guy to give us some extra hundreds. We only got one 2,000 and the rest were in hundreds. We were just praising God, like him honoring our faithfulness. So just so happy about that. But man,
when we got all the way on the other side of town and couldn't get money because the ATM machines were all emptied of money and I had no way of getting home.
Two different ATMs, both of them are closed, no cash anywhere. We're standing on the side of the road trapped. We have no money, we cannot get home. I mean, it's a classic India adventure.
How did I get home? I prayed and I trusted God.
I said, okay, Lord Jesus Christ, I need your help, Lord. I'm praying out loud in front of everybody. Jesus, help us, Jesus, help us. The security guard says, hey, these people can give you a ride. I'm praying the whole time. He's not gonna say anything except for that which the Lord Jesus has already told me. We're gonna be delivered. He goes over to the other guy, I follow him. I see the guy, I reluctantly give a head nod that they can go ahead and give me the visa.
I didn't do any political reforming while I was in India. Brothers and sisters, let me sit on this point. When you are visiting another nation, you have no interest in their politics. You might be curious. You might find something interesting how it works, but you're not involved in trying to change the way they do their politics. You're not actively campaigning for political reform. You're not writing congressmen. You're not voting. You're not caring about the politics. I cared nothing about the politics of India. Why? Because I was just visiting. And you might say, but oh, I'm not visiting where I'm at here in America or here in England or here wherever. But you are if you are a Christian, if you're truly born again, as you'll see in some of these scriptures. You've been translated. Your citizenship has been moved to heaven. You're no longer a part of this country. You've been removed from this world, from its way of thinking. You've effectively lost your life in order to find it. Colossians 3 says that your life is now hidden with Christ. But when you become so focused on politics, it doesn't say at all that your life is hidden. The very essence of politics is to save your life, improve your life, increase your life, protect your life, better your life here. That is not what Jesus was about. The disciples were about. The Bible is about. It's about saying you were once a part of this world, but now faith in Christ, his kingdom is not of this world. In fact, when Jesus was asked about when the coming of the kingdom would be, he says, look, don't go looking for it here and there. It's not out there. It's in here. It's in your heart. How does political reform and creating a quote, Christian America or a Christian nationalist movement, how does that track with the kingdom of God being in your heart? It doesn't. How does that track with your life being hidden and will only be revealed when Christ is revealed? It doesn't. It has to do with people thinking the thoughts of godless men who are here and they believe they'll live forever, or as long as they're here, they want to live as absolutely happy, healthy, wealthy, and comfortable as they can. Brothers and sisters, it is a lie. When you are a sojourner, when you're a pilgrim, when you live as the Bible says we are to live as pilgrims, aliens, and strangers here, you no longer are concerned about things politically. I haven't been in the political system for decades. I've had so much peace. It's like not having to celebrate Christmas. It's even better because Christmas only lasts for 2 weeks. Politics, people just go on and on and on and on and on, and they never shut up about it. You get freedom. You get liberty. Look at how much I have benefited, how much peace I've had not being involved in celebration of a pagan holiday called Christmas that I thought for years was truly Christian.
But what's most compelling is evidence that Mithras's followers celebrated his holy birth on December 25th, the same day that Christians would later celebrate the birth of Jesus.
It was shocking to me when I learned that nobody talked about Jesus' birthday as December 25th when Jesus was walking the earth.
Yes.
It was Mithras' birthday.
That is correct. And this is because December 25th was, for the Romans, always a traditional important holiday, the Feast of the Saturnalia, which went on for 12 days. And everybody was expected to give presents during time period.
And so suddenly 12 days, gift-giving, December 25th.
And a lot of these symbols do find their way into Christian iconography.
And not being involved in politics, which for years I thought was my obligation as a citizen, anything less would be unpatriotic. I've been liberated. I'm just now visiting here, wherever here is at. I'm just visiting. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. I'm an alien. I'm longing for a better country, a country whose architect and builder is God, a heavenly country. How come people can't see this? It's so clear in the scripture. Psalm 85:8, God has shown this to Lisa and I so many times. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to their folly. Anytime Lisa and I have looked away from the mission at hand, from the word of God, from the promises, stepped out of faith and looked at the wind and the waves, or got distracted by something, one of Satan's weapons of mass distraction, God has often showed us this Psalm 85:8 to remind us after we already felt the loss of peace in our hearts, get back on track, get away from the folly. Psalm 131:1, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Even Job had to correct himself in the 42nd chapter saying, I spoke of things too wonderful for me, things of which I didn't understand. How many people, like every person on the planet, could say that about videos you're watching on the YouTube about whatever latest crisis is? You're speaking about things that are too wonderful. You don't even know the truth about those things, and you probably never can. There's very few things in this world today you can know the truth about. Boy, you can make some great conspiracy theories about them, but you can very rarely know the whole truth. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. Let him have them. Wean yourself, as David said in Psalm 131. Romans 8:5-6, listen to this. Those who live according to the sinful nature, the worldly nature, the carnal nature, have their minds set on what that nature desires. Not just pornography and sex, drinking, drugging, and rock and roll, but also politics, comfort, things of man, love of money. They have their mind set on those things, but those who live in accord with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Does the Spirit desire a national state of Christianity, Christian nationalism, and a Christian America? Is that really what God wants? Because the Bible completely contradicts it. There's no such thing as a Christian nation in the Bible. There's only Christians. And the Bible says that nothing is going to be called a Christian nation at the end. Jesus said when he comes back, will he even find faith on earth, much less a Christian nation? Not going to happen, brothers and sisters. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Anytime I've ever tried to touch one of these things that everybody thinks is so important and I need to be aware of, it leads to death. Lisa and I just today went to scroll through so that I could look for an example on something of videos. And I said, can you feel that in your stomach? Just looking at all these headlines and looking at all these crazy titles of things people saying and conjecturing and gossiping and claiming and this, that. Can you feel it? She goes, yeah, I feel it. You can feel it in your spirit. It is death. Death to peace. Death to righteousness. Death to faith. Philippians 3:18 through 21. For as often as I have told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. When you're trying to save your life, when you're trying to keep your life, when you're trying to make this life a better life down here, you're living as an enemy of the cross of Christ, which we are to take up daily to deny ourselves and die on. He says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. This is a condemnation. Their mind is on earthly things. They're calling themselves Christians, but their mind is on earthly things. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Why? They've been translated. He used to be about the things down on the earth. He used to have his stomach being his God. He used to care about the things that godless men, politics, cared about. But now he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a politician from there to come and save, or political reform. No. He says, we eagerly await a savior from there, Jesus Christ the Lord, who by his power enables him to bring everything under his control. Everything is under his control. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers, listen to this, how much of a contradiction this is to all of this stuff on the internet. Think about what a contradiction this is to the very next Charlie Kirk video that you think you need to watch. Any video for that matter in that genre. Finally, brothers, finally, here's a command from the Apostle Paul. Whatever is true, you don't even know what's true. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Whatever you have learned or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Think about how many people calling themselves Christians are in violation of Philippians 4:8-9. Read it slowly and watch how easy it is to violate that by just going to YouTube. Matthew 16:21-24. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Watch what happens. Things were not going the way the disciples hoped. Christianity was not advancing the way the disciples expected. What happens? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The disciples could not stand that Jesus was being arrested. They couldn't handle it. And men today, the godlessness in them, their natural man, could not handle that Jesus was being arrested. Men today, in the name of Christianity, in the name of national politics, cannot handle the fact that Jesus has been, quote, arrested from media, arrested from school, arrested from government, arrested from theater, music, entertainment, the seven mountains, as they call it. They cannot stand it. That Jesus has been arrested. So not having the mind of God, but the mind of man, they say, no, Jesus, this will never happen as long as we are at the helm. We will have Christian presidents and Christian governments and Christian policies and a Christian nation. Where is that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. It's in the pukey hearts of godless men who rape the name of Jesus Christ and turn it into something it's not. The same kind of men who turn the Bible into a permission slip to own slaves. Brothers and sisters, it's horrendous. Look at what's happening. Because men today can't stand that Jesus is being arrested, why am I not having a problem with it? Why am I not afraid of Democrats? Why am I not afraid I'm going to turn into a transgender zombie? Because I trust Jesus, who has all things under his power and control. Because I've lived in India, where there is no hope in man whatsoever for a Christian. Because I've seen God come through and provide for me in the midst of 1.3 billion people who believe exact opposite of what I do. Brothers and sisters, how horrible it is when men lay hold of matters of which they do not know, and they do it in the name of Christ. Remember, Jesus even told the disciples, the day is going to come when men will slaughter you, kill you, and they'll do it thinking that they're doing a favor to God. There is Christian nationalism for you. And I'm so sorry to probably a good number of Democrats, any political party, any person who's had this idea that Jesus Christ wants to force himself on you. He does not. It's a lie. It comes out of the hearts of godless, corrupt, deceived men. Jesus does not want to push himself on anybody or on any nation. He said, if anyone chooses. He never stuck around and tried to force anyone. When the rich young ruler said, no thanks, I'm good with my money, Jesus, and the other commandments I'm following. Did Jesus try to force himself on him? No. He let the man walk away sad, and it says Jesus loved him. Jesus doesn't try to force himself on the Pharisees. He just told them point blank, you're going to hell. How will you ever escape hell? He says, leave them to the disciples. Let them go. He doesn't try to force himself. He doesn't say, Rome, you must become Christian. All Christian, no. The kingdom of God is not in Rome. The kingdom of God is not in America. It's not in Washington, D.C. It's not in Europe. It's not in Australia. It's not in New Zealand. It's not in China, India, Japan, the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, France, Canada, Mexico, anywhere. It's right here. The kingdom of God is in a few people here, and Jesus didn't force it. No politician forced it, and no one will. This is men who live in fear. They haven't had the experience of being a Christian, the only one I knew, living in India, going, wow, I'm okay. The Lord still provides for me. He still does miracles. He still answers my prayer. He still protects me. He still gets me out of trouble just because I'm surrounded by pagans. Jesus' hands are not too tied. The arm of the Lord is not too short. Jesus is able to protect me. I'm not being held down in my devil. Yes, in the beginning, I had some terrible dreams from demons, but even Jesus opened my eyes to see that. I'm not afraid of anything or anyone in this world. I don't need a Christian nation. I don't need to try to go and take my sword out and cut the ear off of people who want to arrest Jesus in this corporation and this particular area of society. I don't need to do it. The Bible tells me this is going to happen, brothers and sisters. And any efforts to keep faith in the name of Christ alive, and to keep institutions Christianized, and to keep people from falling away from the faith is the same futile effort Peter and the disciples made to keep Jesus from the cross. It was prophesied, and it was going to happen. It is prophesied that when Jesus Christ comes back, there not only won't be Christian nations, there won't be hardly any Christians left. Luke 18:8, why can't we get this? Why do men continue to uselessly waste their time, yours and mine, trying to build something that not even God wants to build? Wow, how men are going to be condemned by God. People having done things in the name of Jesus that has nothing to do with Jesus. The kingdom of God is not over there. It's here. You can't mandate here. You can't force people to be born again. You can't force people to follow the morals of Jesus. They have to be born again. Even if I forced a whole nation of people to follow the morals of Jesus, it doesn't make them Christians. And remember this, Satan's agenda, spiritual warfare, is to get you focused back on your life down here. That's why all of this stuff matters from Satan's perspective. It's all designed to get you to be afraid you're going to lose your life here, or to get you back trying to save your life down here, when according to God, if you are truly born again, you should be reflected in thinking on your life up here. Colossians 3:1-4. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, not the old life, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. How do we then read that and justify being a political reformer in the name of Christianity? For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. I'll tell you how, when your life isn't really hidden with Christ, when you have nothing more than a belief system, you have yet to step into the kingdom of God that the belief system points you to. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Think of all the internet videos, politics this, philosophy this, worry, fear this, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. What is this? The Bible, if you notice, is constantly telling us, focus on Christ, life in Christ, your life in heaven, the teachings of Christ, the word of Christ, the grace of Christ, the will of Christ. When Satan is saying, this video, this tragedy, this crisis, this politician, this issue, this fear, this problem, this disaster, do you see the game? Luke 9:59-62, Jesus said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Let me look away from you, Lord. Let me go take care of what everybody in the world knows is important. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord. But first let me go back and say goodbye to my family, something that no reasonable person would deny another person from doing. But what does Jesus say? Jesus replied, no one who puts their hand to the plow and turns and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. My, how differently God thinks than man. Could not Jesus say, you are not thinking the thoughts of God, but the thoughts of man. Luke 17:30-33, it will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who's on a roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. No turning back to the old life. Remember Lot's wife. When you become a Christian and you point your whole heart and focus and prayers and wants and desires to heaven, but then you turn back to politics, then you turn back to this life, do you see how it's such a complete contradiction of the ways of the Spirit of God and of the Word of God? It's like Lot's wife. God has called you out of this. He saves you out of Sodom and Gomorrah, saves you from your sins, saves you from a world that's on a racetrack to hell. And then once you get your fire insurance, you turn and look back and you start political reform. You start looking for ways to save your life down here in the name of Christ. You become a Lot's wife. You look back to your old life. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Can you see how clear this is? And we wonder why Christians are in the state they are in today. We wonder why there's so few Christians filled with the Spirit and the power and the wonder and the awe and the anointing and the favor and the fruitfulness of God today. We are also completely deceived. It's horrendous. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Not us, Paul. We like to watch the YouTube videos, and there's an awful lot of tragedies that we have today, Paul, that you don't. Don't talk to me about for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. These are real problems, and it's very unpatriotic. It's very uncitizenshiply. It's very irresponsible. It's very lazy if I don't learn about all these problems. As if you could even do that and try to do something to fix it. Paul, haven't you heard? The only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. You're wrong, Paul. The evil down here, I can see it. I need to focus on it. I need to do something about it. 2 Timothy 2:16-17 and 20-21. Avoid godless chatter. YouTube. Because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Is that not the essence of social media? Teaching spreading like gangrene. Among them are so-and-so and so-and-so. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes. Some are for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, all the things that belong down here to the world, all the things of which he wants to save in his life, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Brothers and sisters, it takes faith to believe these words. It takes faith to hear this message. You can't be a carnal Christian and listen to this message I'm telling you and say, amen, Brother Michael, I'm in agreement with you. No, you cannot. You have to have real faith. John 3:27, a man can only receive that which is given him from heaven. You have to be in possession of a real grace and a real faith to be able to live this message, turn away from all that the world screams at you is so important, and then heaps abuse on you when you don't fret about it like they do. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 13:14, for here we do not have an enduring city. So why are we political? Why are we worried about trying to fix it all? But we are looking for the city that is to come. Brothers and sisters, even if your worst case scenario happened and the most godless people you could ever imagine took control of every state, every political office in your main government, even if the worst of the worst were at rule in your country, you can still trust God will provide for you. God has a purpose for you, and God can work through you in that. Hebrews 11:13-16, one of the last verses. All these people were still living by faith when they died. The Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have become political. They would have started political reform. They would have tried to start creating a Christian nation. It says they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country. What kind? A heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What does that say about those who want their country down here? It says God's ashamed to be their God. They call themselves children of heaven, children of the God of heaven, but yet they're living down here as if they're going to live forever, or they want to live forever. 1 Timothy 6:20-21, Paul says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Be careful. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from the faith, the true faith. They may still profess Christ. They may still call themselves a Christian. They may still have zeal, but according to God, they've wandered from the true faith. And finally, Revelation 3:11-13, I am coming soon, Jesus said. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Brothers and sisters, Satan's number one agenda in the end times is weapons of mass distraction. You're going to have to deny yourself. Can I make a recommendation? Turn off your YouTube history so that it doesn't recommend videos to you anymore. I learned that recently from a friend of mine, and it's beautiful. It doesn't keep track of what you watch, and then it can't aim videos at you. It can't feed you what you don't want to be fed, and instead just use the search engine. When I want to watch a tennis match, I type in tennis, and I go watch a tennis match. I don't have to sit and look at all these recommended Charlie Kirk videos that started being recommended to me because I wanted to see what had happened. And then I just get video after video after video after video, weapons of mass distraction. I hope this video has been helpful to you. Pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to give you faith. You might say this is impossible. It's not. I've been living exactly what I just preached for the last easy 15 years, maybe 16 years, but let's just call it and say 14 safe, where I have ultimately ignored and not been moved in any way by the things of this earth, the crises of men, because I've been so focused on my mission. I'm on the old lost trail. I'm climbing this mountain. I got my eyes straight ahead. I'm not looking to the left or to the right. I'm violently possessing my attention and my focus. Anytime, by the mercy of God, I've got off track. The Lord's warned me. He takes the peace from my heart. You want peace? Keep your eyes on Jesus. No matter what's happening, there were times I lived in India. I had this incredible peace. There were times it was difficult, but I had this incredible peace. How is that? There's no Christians around to save me, to bless me, to have political reform from, because Jesus was with me. Oh, how I thank God for Jesus Christ. I pray this message blesses you. I don't want to keep going on about it. I just want to end by telling you that I said to you in the previous video, I would tell you what I do to make it through the spiritual warfare that I've been through all these years now, decades. And A lot of the scriptures that you just heard me mention are ones that I held on to and more. I have a spiritual warfare promise page that would have been in the episode we talked about promises. You can download those at our website, the promise pages. And one of them is on spiritual warfare. And of course, there's the classics, the Ephesians, whole chapter 6. You would want to read that, taking up the shield of faith. But there's just a few main principles that I have found. And the number one thing is humility, knowing that you cannot fight Satan in your own strength. He is a formidable foe. There's been so many times he pushed me far past what my Christianity could stand up to. So what I did is I would always humble myself as a little child and say, Lord Jesus, Abba, help me, send me help. So I ask for help. I submit myself to God, and then I begin to resist the devil, just as the Bible and Peter tells me. He says he's a lion, he's coming after me, and that I'm to submit myself to God, humble myself to him, James 4:6, to get that grace and resist him. And I do this over and over and over again, as often as needed. And then I begin to take the thoughts that are causing me so much pain captive, remembering that the fight of faith is a fight of focus. It's always about the fight of focus. So anytime you start to sink with Satan at the helm of your boat, it's because he's getting you to think all the thoughts contradictory to faith. He's injecting you with fear and all these what ifs, right? And one of the best pieces of advice I ever heard was from a man named Warren Wiersbe. I read in a book of his called The Strategies of Satan, I believe. And he said that Satan attacks your thoughts. And he said, just like a man can't keep a bird from flying over his head, but he can keep the bird from making a nest in his head. I can't keep Satan from hitting my head with unbelief, fear, blasphemous thoughts, but I can keep him from building a nest and making a home there. By taking these thoughts captive, by taking up the shield of faith to say, I hear what I hear, I feel what I feel, in my natural mind, but what does the Word of God say? What does my spirit say? What does my testimony about God's faithfulness to people in the Bible say? Or what does my own testimony of God's faithfulness to me in the past say? And it's a fight to remember what God said, to remember who He is, remember what He did, and if you haven't seen Him do anything for you yet, to remember what He did for others, to remember His Word, taking up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to fight back against, and to say, greater is He that is in me. I've done it so many times. Just the simple, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. If God be for me, who can be against me? The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect me from every evil attack. That's really basically my entire strategy for spiritual warfare. In the smallest nutshell, I could give it to you. I feel the effect of the spiritual warfare. I recognize where it's coming from. I humble myself, Lord Jesus Christ, grant me strength to do this. Lord, I can't do it, but you can. And then I begin, as I pray, I begin to do my part. There's always a part you have to do. I don't just sit and wait. I do my part. I get the Word of God, and I contradict what I feel and what I think or what I fear with the Word of God. But what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, do not call conspiracy, everything these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread what they dread. It is the Lord your God you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. I also, one of my biggest secrets is praise. Sometimes if the spiritual warfare just comes on me so bad and I can't seem to get out of it, and I can't change, I just start forcefully, violently thanking God. Lord, thank you for everything. And when I say everything, I don't just mean everything. I start going through, Lord, for that toilet that flushes. Lord, for that water that turns on. Lord, for that refrigerator that has something cold to drink, which I can't wait to get after doing this long-winded video for you. And Lisa and I, we just start thanking God. And I can't even tell you over the years how many times that gratitude in my heart has so completely blessed, taken away the clouds, lifted my hearts, and put me back off away from the cliff where I was getting ready to fall. Try giving thanks. Someone once said it, try giving thanks, try giving praise. It works. It doesn't always work to take away, so don't panic if it doesn't, but just thanking God, Lord, thank you for my phone. Thank you for my nice clothes. Thank you for my nice food. Thank you for my supplements, Lord. Thank you. I thank him for the simplest of things and just go back to the things that he says in Matthew 6 he would give us. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him. I think Satan hates it when he's trying to nail me and I have this gratitude. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Even thanking him for Satan, thanking him for all of his strikes, all of the terrible persecutions he's come at with me, because it's made me the Christian I am today that I'm so happy with. I'm not happy with Michael Criswell, but I'm happy with the Michael Criswell that's yielded to Jesus. I'm happy with who I am as a Christian. I'm so thankful for who I am as a Christian, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful for my faith. I've been able to get through so much. The loss of everything and everyone with Jesus' help. Think about it. And look at me, I still praise him. I'm so thankful to Jesus. If I'm not careful, I could just keep going and keep going and keep going. I hope the recording is still going because I love him so much. I'm so thankful. The world has got all of its problems, not me. Not my monkeys, not my circus. I'm so thankful, Jesus, so thankful. I'm so thankful after all that I've been through, all the spiritual war, all this hardship. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, only painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Oh, I still have a couple of difficult days. I had a difficult time after all that warfare and Satan just was nailing me and nailing me. But everything I just said, I did, I put into practice. And here I sit today, energized. Brothers and sisters, little interesting fact. This is the second time I've had to do this whole thing. I had to start it over from scratch. Had problems with audio, problems with the video, problems with just technical problems that I didn't realize. I did the whole thing and it was all, had to throw it in the can. And I started to laugh about it. And Lisa said, well, I'm just glad you can laugh about it. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to shut up now. I want you to realize there are so many burdens in this life on the internet that Jesus never intended for you to carry. If you want to know how true that is, go read December 1st evening. I believe that's what it is. And if it's not, I'll correct myself below the video you'll see here of Streams in the Desert. Just go read that devotional about this woman who was basically almost dying of worry and couldn't stop it no matter what. She knew it was sin. And go look at the dream that Jesus Christ gave her and see if that doesn't apply to you and I today. May the Lord bless you. I'll see you on the next stage. I love you and thank you for watching. Don't forget your ministry. If you haven't done it yet, you can send this as a Bible tract on somebody else's recommended video screen simply by hitting like and making sure that you subscribed to the channel. That's a cool little ministry if you ask me. God bless you in Jesus' name. Bye-bye. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure he has to see you and I conformed into his image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.